comes from the Hebrew Bible, Amos chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. And it can be found in your Pew Bible on 807.
And also in the large print Bible on page 1048.
Hear these words. This is what the Lord God showed me, a basket of summer fruit. He said, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, the end has come upon my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The songs of the temple should become wailings in that day, says the Lord God. The dead bodies shall be many, cast out in every place. Be silent. Hear this, you that trample on the needy, and bring to the ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over? So that we may sell again, and the Sabbath, so that we may offer wheat for sale. We will make the ephah small, and the shekel great, and the practice deceit with false banners, buying the poor for silver, and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. Should not the land tremble on this account, and everyone mourn who lives in it? And all of it rise like the Nile, and be tossed about and sink again like the Nile of Egypt? On that day, says the Lord God, I will make the sun go down at noon, and darken the earth in the broad daylight. I will turn your feasts into mourning and all your songs into lamentations. I will bring sackcloth on all loins and baldness on every head. I will make it like the mourning for an only son, and in the end of it like a bitter day. The time is surely coming, says the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of a hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from the sea to sea and from the north to the east, and they shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our second scripture reading this morning is a responsive psalm reading, Psalm 82, which is found on page 804 in your hymnal. God is seated in the divine council and in the midst of the gods hold judgment. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Give justice to the weak and the orphan. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, you are gods, godlike offspring, all of you. Needless, you should die like mortals and fall like any prince. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for to you belong all the nations. Amen.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1. Verses 15 through 28 can be found on page 188 in your New Testament Pew Bible and on page 244 in the large print Bible. I'm getting to the point where I need a large print note to tell me where it's at in the large print Bible. Hear these words. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you have heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. We continue through the gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. You can find that in your pew Bible on page 67 of the New Testament. And if you're reading the large print Bible, it's on page 87 in the New Testament. So this is right after the story of Jesus and the conversation with the lawyer, where he told the story of the Good Samaritan. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, I'm sure that you've seen this same occurrence as you're shopping or dining or driving around town. It's something that most of us would not have seen when we were growing up, but now it's as common as green grass in the spring. Maybe you do it, too. It seems like everywhere you look these days, you see people with their hands together, cupped around a cell phone, texting or tweeting or checking out something interesting on the internet. And I know that some of you do this, so. And it's not just when they're having a cup of coffee or waiting for a bus or standing in line. People are using their cell phones while they're driving a car. This, unfortunately, is known as distracted driving, and it accounts for a huge number of traffic accidents and fatalities every year in this country. But have you ever been talking to somebody face to face and had that person get a call or text while you're trying to carry on a conversation with that person? Now, I recognize that we're in a time of a new culture of connection and social interaction. But I was taught that when you're having a conversation with somebody face to face, it's simply a sign of respect and common courtesy to pay complete attention to what that person is saying. Call me old-fashioned. Now, I'm not criticizing those who use cell phones or other electronic gadgets. My goodness, these are very handy tools for communicating and social interaction and information. I use my computer all the time to get news, to look up information, to write my sermons. I've even found myself texting Jane or Zach while I'm out for a walk. But it is clear that cell phones and the internet can be a pretty serious distraction if you let them. That's my point, and I believe the point of this gospel lesson. There are many important things in life that we must attend to every day. But we also must be crystal clear about our priorities and about how we spend our precious time on this earth. It is so very easy to be distracted by the good things in life that we often fail to see what is the best thing to do. In this familiar story from Luke, Jesus was invited for a meal with Martha and her sister Mary. Martha was doing her level best to try to be a good host, to prepare a meal for their guest, while her sister Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to what he had to say. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked Jesus, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her that she's got to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." It is so easy and tempting to point a finger at Martha and agree that she was wrong. But I don't think that's what Jesus is saying at all. Both sisters were doing what they thought best at that time, but Martha was a bit distracted by her tasks. During the course of a typical day, have you ever been distracted by your mundane tasks, that to-do list, that endless stream of activities that require your attention? What do you think would happen to you if Jesus himself came to your house for a meal? Would you behave like Mary, or would you be distracted like Martha? Think about that. This is Jesus I'm talking about, right in your own living room. Would you behave like Mary, or would you be distracted like Martha? Would you continue to work on the potatoes or jump up to get some iced tea? Or would you sit down and listen to your guest? We're talking about the guy who prompted Paul to write these lines to the Colossians. "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross." Jesus, in your living room, would you behave like Mary and listen to Jesus, Or would you be distracted like Martha? My sisters and brothers, the truth is that Jesus is in your living room, or in your bedroom, or your TV room, or in your purse, or in your backpack. Jesus is in your computer, or even in your smartphone, or your tablet. Jesus is always available in the pages of the Bible, and He's got a lot to say to you. If you don't have a Bible, come see me. I will make sure you have one when you walk out today. If you don't know how to read or study the Bible, come see me. I'll make sure that you can join us for Bible study. Now, I know that your typical day is full of important tasks and jobs that require your attention. I get that. And it's very easy to become distracted. But every gadget I know of has an off switch. It is always your choice of what gets your complete attention. It's your choice. What I'm asking you to consider is this. Do you think you might be able to carve out 20 to 30 minutes of your day in order to spend a little time with the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, your Lord and Savior, your best friend, Jesus? That's all I ask, that you consider spending a little time every day listening to Jesus, just like Mary. And I promise that this can change your life. God's peace to you. Amen.